This is special election coverage on Wisconsin Public Radio. Today, we feature the first of two debates with primary candidates for Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, leading up to the February 18th primary election. I'm Shereen Seewert, host of Route 51, a regional program based in Wausau. Joining me as co-moderator today is Robin Washington, host of WPR's Superior-based talk show, Simply Superior. Robin is joining us from Superior. This week, Democratic candidates Lawrence Dale from Eagle River and Trisha Zunker from Wausau will answer questions about their campaign's ideas and issues facing the 7th District. Next week, we'll host both candidates in the Republican primary. The 7th Congressional District is the largest U.S. congressional district in the state. It includes Ashland, Barron, Bayfield, Burnett, Clark, Douglas, Florence, Forest, Iron, Langlade, Lincoln, Marathon, Oneida, Polk, Price, Rusk, Sawyer, St. Croix, Taylor, Vilas, and Washburn counties. It also includes portions of Chippewa, Jackson, Juneau, Monroe, and Wood counties. The special election just weeks away was called by Governor Tony Evers to replace Republican Sean Duffy, who resigned citing family reasons last fall. The winners of the February 18th primary will face off in the general election on May 12th. First, let me introduce our guest for the hour. Trisha Zunker is a law professor at several universities. In 2013, she was elected by the Ho-Chunk Nation to serve as an associate justice of the Ho-Chunk Supreme Court. She was reelected to that position in 2017. In 2018, Ms. Zunker was elected to the Wausau School Board and currently serves as board president. Lawrence Dale is an insurance professional and Vietnam War veteran. He previously ran for the seat as a Green Party candidate in 2014 and for Wisconsin State Assembly District 34 as a Democrat in 2016. Mr. Dale has a bachelor's degree in government as well as a master's degree in industrial and labor relations with a focus on economics. Our format today is straightforward. Each candidate will answer identical questions and will be granted 60 seconds to answer, with an additional 30 seconds for a follow-up comment or clarification. We'll be focusing on policy questions. At the end of the hour, we'll give each candidate 60 seconds to offer their final thoughts before we close. We want your voice to be heard as well. The number to call is 800-780-9742.
Great. Thank you, Shereen. Just before the program aired, we flipped a coin to see who would be first to answer the starting question. Lawrence Dale won the coin toss and will be fielding the first question. Mr. Dale, why do you want to represent the 7th Congressional District, and what qualifies you?
Well, I don't know why I want to represent the 7th Congressional District. I think there's a lot of problems in our district, and most of them are associated with the lack of diversity and the kind of policies that have really been implemented in the last 5 years that really undermine our district's ability to move forward and to diversify. My campaign is focused on looking at opportunities that are really existing now that would attract new farmers into our district, looking primarily at the farm sector. I know that we need a congressman who would be active in putting together the funding and coordinating with tribal and other communities in the state government, federal government, of course, the USDA, to get the kind of financing we need to undertake creating a slaughterhouse, meat processing, and direct marketing cooperatives.
And your time is up. All right, Ms. Zunker, your turn.
I have a demonstrated record of public service, whether it's serving my people, the Ho-Chunk Nation, or the community of Wausau. I've also been an advocate in Marathon County for recognition of Indigenous Peoples Day and also very vocal on recognition of Pride Month. I believe I'm the best qualified person to serve as Congresswoman in this district, and I believe representation matters. I bring a number of things to the table, not just my legal background and experience, but when I am elected to serve, I will be the first Native American specifically Ho-Chunk, representing Wisconsin in Congress. I will be the first woman to represent Wisconsin 7. People shouldn't vote for me because I'm a woman. They should vote for me because I'm a qualified woman who's going to get the job done. But it's high time our women and young girls see themselves reflected in congressional leadership. And I will double the population of current single parents in Congress. We need a government that reflects society, and currently we don't have that. So those are a few of the reasons why I'm running. There's a lot of things that we need to address, and I'm prepared to do that.
Mr. Dale, you have 30 seconds to add more if you choose.
Well, my focus is primarily on the economy here, and I think that I have put in the time and the study and the effort and working with and meeting many of the merchants and the people of this district over the years. I more have the pulse, I believe, of the district and what we need. And I certainly emphasize that we need to diversify our economy up here. We need somebody in Congress that will provide that kind of leadership.
And that is the end of your time. Ms. Zunker, 30 seconds if you'd like to add more to your comments.
I would, because I didn't get to actually address the issues. But some of the reasons that I'm running are to improve access to affordable quality health care. We need to drastically lower the cost of prescription drugs. We need to tackle the farm crisis. We need to protect the environment. And I am looking so forward to working across the aisle to achieve bipartisan solutions that can result in better life, really, here for people in Wisconsin.
Thank you. The next question, and Ms. Zunker, you'll answer this question first. In 2016, the rural areas of the 7th Congressional District voted overwhelmingly for Donald Trump. In that same election, Douglas, Bayfield, and Ashland counties went decisively the other way. So how do you propose to address the concerns of voters in both areas without disenfranchising either one?
Well, we are more alike than we are different here in the 7th Congressional District, and I have put thousands upon thousands of miles on my car getting through all of these counties, and it really takes reaching voters. The things that I am focused on, that this campaign is focused on, are not controversial. We should have affordable, accessible health care. Not controversial. Lowering the cost of prescription drugs, again, not controversial. Making sure we protect our environment. Making sure that we properly fund our public schools and invest in our future. So really, I think that there are so many people that vote the candidate. And we see that because Senator Baldwin prevails in this district as well.
All right. Mr. Dale.
Well, I think we need to really focus on what we don't agree on. And there is a lot of disagreement. Right now there's a whole wrap, if you will, being put out there that the small dairy farm operations are not efficient, that they're not productive enough, and that the reason we've lost 7,000 small dairy farms in the last, since 2004 is because they're just not as productive or efficient as these big monster industrial dairies that are now coming into the state. We have like 279 of them. And I haven't seen anything to show that they are more efficient overall than the small dairy farms. I think this whole emphasis that they're not efficient is totally wrong. I urge everybody to look at the recent investigative report by the Milwaukee Journal.
All right. 30 seconds if you would like to add more to your comments, Ms. Zunker.
Well, in response to Mr. Dale's comments about our farm crisis, as the granddaughter of a dairy farmer, when I see what's happening with our small and mid-sized farms, it is heartbreaking. We need to ensure access to competitive markets. We need funding for mental health assistance. There is a suicide crisis happening in our farm community. Big Ag, that is separate. You know, I don't accept corporate PAC money, and Big Ag, they need to be held accountable with regulations.
Mr. Dale, would you like to address anything else about that question?
Yes, I would. I'm very disappointed in the Democratic Party, especially through Governor Evers' suggestion that he's going to have the taxpayers use a million of their dollars to clean up the manure mess that these industrial dairies are creating. We need to put a moratorium on any more expansion of these health hazards. That I don't know why anybody would invite them into the state to begin with.
All right. Robin, ask the next question, please.
great. Mr. Dale, this one is for you to begin with. Ultimately, the fate of the Affordable Care Act will be determined by the United States Supreme Court, although probably not this term. That leaves the law's Medicaid expansion and much else in sort of a legal limbo. What would you move forward as a solution to our health care challenges?
Well, I was a Bernie Sanders delegate in 2016 from Vilas County. I stand solidly behind the Medicare for All program. I think it makes the most sense. We have roughly 87 million Americans who are either uninsured or underinsured. Roughly 40,000 are dying every year because they just don't have enough money to go in and take care of the symptoms that are showing, and then they wait too long. This Medicare for All would be a way to make sure that all Americans are insured, and that would also make having health care a right and not a privilege.
All right, Ms. Zunker.
I believe that we need to focus on expanding the ACA so that more people have affordable, accessible health care. Everybody should have health care. That's a given. And I support a robust public option. I am going throughout the district, and I am hearing from people that do like their private insurance. I'm hearing from union leaders that negotiated very heavily for their insurance, and they don't want to feel something imposed upon them. Healthcare decisions are deeply personal, and I believe that people must be empowered in making their decisions. I come from a strong union household, and I support those union members and those unions that feel that way. But we also need to make sure that we have funding for mental health services, and we need to make sure that our rural hospitals and related services are funded properly as well. The bottom line is, we also need to take on Big Pharma. I worked in intellectual property early in my legal career, and what they are getting away with is nearly criminal in the cost of prescription drugs.
Mr. Dale, is there anything you'd like to add to that in 30 seconds?
I think we've kicked this question around enough. The fact is we have a dysfunctional healthcare system. It's mainly a control system where they're just trying to keep everything tapped down. But they're making billions of dollars in profits. We still don't have everybody covered. And, of course, if you had the government negotiating the price of prescriptions, we could lower it and probably 90% lower just for diabetes drugs alone.
Ms. Zunker, is there anything else you'd like to add in 30 seconds?
Yes, nobody should die because they don't have access to health care. Nobody should go bankrupt because they can't afford the cost of prescription drugs. I have a friend who's 71 years old, and she says she can never stop working because of debt that she is helping her son with his insulin. So we need to tackle this. We need to take this on, and I would work immediately on a bill similar to H.R. 3, which is sitting on Mitch McConnell's legislative graveyard right now.
We have a caller, Christine from Wausau, who has a question on veterans' access to health care. Welcome to the program, Christine. What is your question? Christine, do we have you?
Hello?
Hello, Christine. What is your question?
Hi. Going to do or what their policies are going to be to improve access and the quality of health care for our veterans.
So the question is about health care and quality of health care for veterans, specifically for veterans. What would you do to ensure access to and equality of health care for veterans? Mr. Dale, I believe it is your turn to answer first.
Well, under Medicare for All, a veteran would be able to choose the doctor and wherever they wanted to be treated. We have that right now under Medicare, but we don't have as extensive coverage. Under Medicare for All, you would have additional benefits, which there would be a small premium a year. I believe it would be about $1,200, but at least you would also get long-term care. That's something that is not provided. You'd get vision and dental. And all that money that people are currently paying out to these big healthcare corporations would then be money that would be more spent in our local economies, and it would be something that we really need in a district like the 7th where it's so seasonal. We need more dollars flowing through here. We need more small businesses, and we need somebody in Congress who's going to fight to make sure that the small business culture that we have here, especially in dairy and in other shop, our preserve.
All right. Ms. Zunker, what would you answer for Christine's question about veterans' access to health care?
Good morning, Christine. Thank you for this important question. Our veterans serve this country, and we have an obligation and a duty to make sure that they are taken care of. We need to, and in fact, a few weeks ago, I held a veterans roundtable at BB Jack's here in Wausau, and there were veterans from all different political beliefs, and I was interested in learning how I could be most effective as their congresswoman. And what I know is that we need to eliminate burdens on our veterans, make services more convenient, and we need to make sure that they have the health care that they need, that they have the prescription drugs that they need, that they have the mental health care accessible. So we need to take care of our veterans.
All right. Mr. Dale, anything additional that you'd like to add?
Well, I really think that we have to move in a more speedy way towards Medicare for all. There's no doubt that if you have Medicare for all and you have a choice, well, I want to stay with my employer's plan or go to the Medicare for all plan, I don't think that would make sense. You need the government negotiating those prices, setting the standards, and have it under one roof. We've tried these other ways, and they don't work.
Ms. Zunker?
No, I just wanted to point out that when I had this roundtable with a number of veterans a few weeks ago, I thought that this would be a prime topic. But what I heard overwhelmingly was that people are really just tired of attacks. They want to see somebody who's going to get the job done. So that is something that I am committed to doing, working across the aisle to achieve bipartisan solutions on all matters, and including making sure that our veterans are protected.
You're listening to Wisconsin Public Radio special election coverage of the Democratic primary debate between Tricia Zunker and Lawrence Dale, candidates for Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District. Your questions are welcome. To be part of this debate, call our studio at 800-780-9742. We'll be back after a short break. Welcome back to Wisconsin Public Radio's special election coverage of the Democratic primary debate between Lawrence Dale and Tricia Zunker, candidates for Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District. Live from WPR's Wausau studios, the primary election is February 18th. I'm Shereen Seewert, host of WPR's Wausau-based program, Route 51, along with Robin Washington, host of WPR's Superior-based program, Simply Superior. If you have a question for our candidates, call 800-780-9742. Robin, please ask the next question.
Thank you, Shereen. So discussions of immigration often center on illegal immigration and border crossings. But the Trump administration has sought to drastically reduce the number of legal immigrants in the nation as well. In some places in the 7th Congressional District, they are experiencing labor shortages. Immigrant labor is a requirement to keep farms and factories running. What action would you propose to either limit or expand opportunities for legal immigration to the U.S.?
And Tricia, I believe you are first.
Okay. Yes, I've been going around this district, and I've been in the farms, and I've seen the labor, and I am glad that these individuals are here. Our country is a better country the more diverse that it is, and I support our small farms and small businesses being able to have the labor that they have. Certainly, we need to have a pathway to immigration so that we have a process. There's not chaos, but I believe that individuals that are here currently are our dreamers. I support our dreamers. You know, children that came here through no fault of their own. This is the only home that they have ever known. This is their home. So I support a process that ensures their citizenship. And we have to look to why people are coming here. Yes, it supports our businesses here, but they're also leaving persecution. They're also leaving for risking their lives for better opportunity. And that's what makes America great. As a Ho-Chunk woman, I have a unique perspective on immigration, and I am glad that everybody is here.
Mr. Dale.
Well, there's a lot going on with this question with regard to illegal, I guess you would call it, invitation. There's job openings here. There's coyotes hired that are in Mexico and other, well, south of there as well, inviting these people in, promising these jobs, and creating a problem that really, you know, shouldn't exist. So the other problem I see that is causing a lot of our problems with the immigration question is the way that the commodity crop growers are dumping corn, for example, on the Mexican economy. This has driven a lot of Mexicans who are farmers out of work. So what do their families, what do they and their families do? They can't just, shrivel up and go away. So I think that's causing a lot of the influx. Of course, the totalitarian measures in Honduras are also a problem.
All right. Ms. Zunker, you have 30 seconds if you'd like to add anything else.
Yeah, a few weeks ago I was in Barron County and I met with members of the Somali community. There is a vibrant Somali community in Barron County. And people are separated from their families currently because of Trump's travel ban. There are individuals that came here with the expectation and understanding that their children would follow not long after them. These are individuals that have been heavily vetted. They're not a danger. And I believe we have to fulfill our obligation and make sure that families are reunited, whether it's in Barron County or at the border.
Mr. Dale, anything you'd like to add? 30 seconds.
Not really. I just feel that we don't need to be using the NAFTA treaty to create the kind of turmoil we have in the agricultural sector of Mexico. The treaty should be structured not to dump our subsidized crops on them, but to work out something that's going to be beneficial to both parties. We're letting the big ag corporations have too much sway in this question, and they're creating this havoc.
Thank you. Again, the number to call, listeners can join the debate by calling 800-780-9742. Mr. Dale, this question is for you to start. The federal government has retreated on past commitments to provide housing for low and moderate income families. Federal funding for housing assistance has fallen to its lowest level relative to the economy since 1980. What is your answer to the continuing housing crisis?
Yeah, it's really bad. I mean, we have so many homeless people out there. And I understand only about a quarter of the vouchers are released now that would help the poor folks find a place to live. Until the economy improves, until there's more jobs that are paying a decent wage, so many people can't afford to even, meet their monthly bills. And I would say that we really need to criticize the Trump administration for withholding these funds, and because they are the culprit in this case. And they're, it's very heartless, and they're not really doing anything as far as creating good-paying jobs. That's what a president is for, is to provide that kind of leadership. So by not doing so, this is where I believe the problem is stemming from.
All right, Ms. Zunker.
Yes, I serve in two elected capacities, Associate Justice on the Ho-Chunk Supreme Court and WASA School Board President, and so I see how homelessness affects our populations. In November of 2019, I went on the Hunger and Homelessness Bus Tour through United Way of Marathon County, and we do have homeless individuals in this community that have jobs. The jobs don't pay enough, that's true. So we need to work towards a livable wage to make sure that people can actually survive and have housing. And we need to put more funding towards affordable housing. We need to prioritize where we're spending our money, and we need to make sure that we're looking out for our hardworking families.
Mr. Dale, is there anything you'd like to add?
Well, certainly I would be a key advocate for increasing the number of vouchers released to put pressure on the Trump administration. Hopefully he's gone by then, but to put pressure on the administration and I don't think we'll have a problem if Bernie Sanders is the president, to release those funds and to put more emphasis in getting people off the street into adequate housing, and to, make sure we get a $15 minimum wage and make a COLA attached to that.
All right. Ms. Zunker, anything you'd like to add?
Well, I believe that we have to elect leaders that are compassionate, and seeking to reduce homelessness is certainly the compassionate choice, which is something that I support.
Robin, take the next question, please.
Thank you, Shireen. This one will begin with Ms. Zunker. Climate change is changing northern Wisconsin. As the snow line moves north, it affects winter tourism economies. High water levels in the Great Lakes in the last year led to serious flooding, and weather changes are affecting everything from animal migration patterns to the exploding population of ticks. What's your perspective on how the federal government should address climate change?
Well, first of all, I think that we need to call it what it is. This is a climate emergency, and we have to address it with the urgency that it requires. I believe that we need to ensure we have clean air, clean water, and our beautiful land stay protected from corporate greed for generations to come. I am Ho-Chunk, and in our we have a removal story, which I won't get into in this short time, but we have a belief that it is our obligation and duty to protect this land, and I have that belief running through my veins. So we need to hold the polluters accountable. We need to enforce regulations. There is this Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act that I support, which would get us there. And also, we need to consider it all legislation, the environmental aspect. The environment pervades everything else we do, right? That's why I had my announcement at Eau Claire Dells, because of the importance of the environment. So we can include this in all legislation.
Mr. Dale, your turn.
Well, certainly we need to move to renewable energies. Our dependency on natural gas is not sustainable. Natural gas releases in drilling for natural gas, it releases 107% stronger methane gases over what the similar unit count would be for CO2. As a congressman, I would certainly want to make sure that we have more EPA oversight, and also with regard to the district, we need to move now to renewable energy sources like solar and wind. I understand Germany is now 80% renewable, and they're at a latitude that is a bit north of ours. So I believe it's doable. The jobs are well-paying, and the sooner we move in that direction, the better. We need to stop shipping this tar sands oil through our state.
Ms. Zunker, your chance to offer another 30 seconds, please.
Well, another thing that we need to do is get back into the Paris Climate Agreement, and we do need to increase incentives for renewable energy production. And really what we need to do is we need strong campaign finance reform, because big ag and fossil fuel industries is funding elections and buying seats. And until we have campaign finance reform, we aren't going to be able to have the advocacy for the environment and for this climate urgency that we need.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, there's so many problems now with even in the Democratic Party. I feel both parties are moving too much towards big business, creating the litmus test for who becomes a candidate. And if you don't pass that litmus test, then you don't get the opportunity to run. And so it's so important to move towards public financing of elections. This dark money is just pervasive, and it's undermining our democracy.
The next question, Wisconsin lost 1,400 farms in the last 2 years alone. What should the federal government do to stop the decline of this industry that is so crucial to this largely rural district? Mr. Dale, you have the first opportunity to answer.
Well, yeah, since 2004, we've actually lost 7,000. There was a major report about this, an investigative report in the Milwaukee Journal within the last month, and I'm really surprised more news media aren't covering this question, because it flies in the face of what the rap is out there saying that the dairy farms are not efficient. They're more environmentally sustainable. They are efficient. The demand doesn't call for increasing the supply. And in fact, what the investigative report found is that the oversupply of milk is what's causing the price given to the farmers for what they produce. And it's so low that it's driving farmers out of business. It's not because they're inefficient, but there's incentives out there to increase. For example, Grow Wisconsin Dairy in 2012 was passed by the current Republican leadership. And what that's done is caused the oversupply to knock the prices down so low that farmers have had to go out of business.
All right, Ms. Zunker.
Yes, as the granddaughter of a dairy farmer, this is especially heartbreaking for me to see what's happening with our farm crisis here. We need to ensure access to competitive markets. We need to eliminate predatory business practices that hurt our small and mid-sized farmers. We need to have incentives for our farmers for use of sustainable, renewable energy. We need to ensure broadband access for our small and mid-sized farmers, and really for everybody in the 7th CT, because of the opportunity people are deprived without it. We need to support our small businesses, because when we support our small businesses, we support our farmers. And we need to ensure that we have funding for mental health assistance. There is a suicide crisis that is occurring within our farm community, and we need to support our small and mid-sized farmers. And related, we need to hold Big Ag accountable. I'm not talking about the CAFOs when I'm talking about all of these things that we need to do.
All right, Mr. Dale, 30 seconds.
We need to hold up CAFOs accountable. We need to make sure that they pay for the mess that Governor Evers is now asking the taxpayer to subsidize. We shouldn't be subsidizing. If they're so efficient, why don't they pay their own bill? They knew coming in that these were environmentally dangerous and public health hazards, and yet they allowed them into state, and that goes for the Republicans and the Democrats. They're both to be held responsible. And the only reason they did it is because of, well, they get financial support from them.
Ms. Zunker, 30 seconds.
Yeah, I was in the western part of this district just last week, and I had nonstop events through Polk and St. Croix County and really heard from individuals regarding the CAFOs. And what we need is we need to have regulations, more regulations to hold them accountable. Currently, what they do or what they're supposed to do is self-report. Now, that is just a recipe for disaster, so we need to eliminate that first and foremost and increase and strengthen the regulations.
We do have a caller, Gerald Webster. Thank you for calling. What is your question?
My question is, what will you do to protect our Second Amendment rights?
All right. Tricia, it is your turn to answer first. What would you say to Gerald?
Yes, it's interesting. I'm seeing all of these rallies for Second Amendment sanctuaries. I am a constitutional law professor, and I can tell you that the Second Amendment is not under attack. These rallies, we might as well have a rally for the Fourth Amendment or Fifth Amendment. I support our because county resolutions do not trump the Constitution. So I support our hunters. I support an individual to be able to protect themselves and their home. But I tell you, I have a perspective as a mom and as a school board president, and I see our children having to go through active shooter drills. I made it through my entire academic career and never had to do one. My son is in third grade, and he's been through seven. You know, we are not addressing the real problem, which is we do have a gun violence problem in this country, and we need common sense gun reform. That is clear. And, you know, the NRA is, again, buying seats in this election, but we need common sense legislation.
Mr. Dale, your turn.
And common sense legislation, that all makes really good sense. And universal background checks would certainly stop a lot of that straw man buying that whereby criminals come up here into the 7th, go to these gun shows, buy these weapons, take them back to criminals perhaps, and likely so. Where else are they going to get them? But we need that universal background check. And we need a ban on the sale of these assault weapons. They're simply too dangerous. There's no real monitoring of how they're stored. Once they do leave the store and they're taken home, it puts too many lives in danger. In the Dayton example, when we had that shooting there, that guy had killed, like, what, nine people, wounded 14, and the police had him down within 30 seconds, I believe. So these things are just too dangerous. They're meant for war and for killing people, and I think that should be a part of the Defense Department's appropriation, not individual citizens.
Ms. Zunker, 30 seconds.
I absolutely agree with both of those. Weapons that are designed for warfare have no business being in the hands of civilians. Also, when we can identify people that shouldn't have access to weapons through red flag laws, that is something that is important as well. I have a friend. He was orphaned as a child because his mother, she was enduring a hard time, and she took her own life. And that is something that could have been avoidable if she didn't have that access.
Mr. Dale, would you like to add anything else in 30 seconds?
Not really. I think I've covered it. And
absolutely. Okay. You're listening to Wisconsin Public Radio special election coverage featuring Democratic primary candidates for Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, Lawrence Dale and Tricia Zunker. Your questions are welcome. To be part of this debate, call 800-780-9742. We'll be back after a short break. Welcome back to Wisconsin Public Radio's special election coverage with Democratic primary candidates for Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, Tricia Zunker and Lawrence Dale. We are broadcasting live from WPR's Wausau studios. The primary election is February 18th. I'm Shereen Seward, host of WPR's Wausau-based program, Route 51, along with Robin Washington, host of WPR's Superior-based program, Simply Superior. If you have a question for our candidates, call 800-780-9742. Robin, we'll go to you.
Start with Mr. Dale. The American attack that targeted and killed Iranian General Qasem Soleimani in Iraq left the future of America's foreign policy in the region uncertain. Did the attack make America safer? Why or why not?
I don't believe it made us any safer, but I do believe that Mr. Soleimani should have been kept around for a while because I think he was one of the experts in the Middle East of killing ISIS people, and that is a dangerous element. And we see the same kind of mistake really made with regard to the Kurds. To allow the Turkish government to come in and the Kurds were our allies, and they were experts also at getting rid of ISIS. That means that we didn't have to put our own troops at risk. And the understanding, the folks should understand that the Kurds are a democratic people. They did lose 10,000 of their own. And to be treated that way, I think it undermines our ability in the future to have allies that will support us in these efforts so that we don't have to use our own military folks, service people, and put them in harm's way. So it was a bad mistake, I think, to kill Soleimani at that time.
Ms. Zunker.
Well, Soleimani is a war criminal and a terrorist, and we don't need to mourn his death. But certainly this action was reckless. And it should have gone through Congress with approval. And it's unfortunate that the 7th Congressional District remains unrepresented right now. I support our servicemen and women, and I don't believe that the president should be subjecting them to anything reckless and risking their lives. And this is personal for me. I have a relative that was deployed after this to the Middle East, and our family has no idea. We can't know where he is. So this isn't just something that we're talking about on the news. This is something that is affecting everyday Americans, my family included.
Mr. Dale, is there anything you'd like to add? In 30 seconds.
Well, I think we covered it as much as we can. I mean, 30 seconds doesn't really give me enough time to go into it. But there's just the Trump administration seems to be choosing sides. I think that should be addressed. We see him choosing to side with Saudi Arabia in their bombing of Lebanon, making it one of the worst humanitarian crises ever. We see him supporting Saudi Arabia and the Sunnis against the Shiites. We shouldn't be meddling with that.
Ms. Dale, Ms. Zunker, excuse me, anything in 30 seconds you'd like to add to that?
You know, when Trump was running, he said that he was going to bring our servicemen and women home. And I was fully on board with that because we need to prioritize where we spend our funding. We can't be having our servicemen and women in these never-ending wars. I want to see our troops come home. I don't want to see us sending more people out of this country. Let's bring them home.
Ms. Zunker, this is your question to answer first. Many sand mines in the western part of the district are sitting idle. Some of the mining companies are facing bankruptcy. How should the federal government be involved in the regulation of mining?
Well, the federal government should ensure that any mining is safe to the extent that that's possible. We have to do everything we can to reduce pollution, reduce the possibility of poisoning our water. Personally, I would like to see our land stay protected. I was visiting with Forest County Potawatomi Tribal Council last week and discussing with them up in Crandon the mining issue that they faced a few years ago, and they just bought that land so that it couldn't be mined. And it's just sitting there, and it's protected. It's not being destroyed by corporate greed, and that's what I support.
All right. Mr. Dale.
Well, I would first of all, I don't know about the federal government being involved in something that is a competition between one sand mining company and another. I think what happened is for the fracking purposes, that that situation is due to their choice of another mining company. So I don't see what involvement. It's just a matter of, you know, competition between mining companies, and we shouldn't be needing to interfere with that. But I do think we need to be interfering with these operations that are going on with fracking. It's destroying a lot of our freshwater reserves out there. We shouldn't be supporting anything like that. And it's releasing a lot of methane into the atmosphere, and it's hurting our ability to fight climate change. This is one of the most egregious greenhouse gases out there. And we're also seeing that, you know, from all these manure lagoons that are being built to support these huge agribusinesses.
Ms. Zunker, 30 seconds.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't support fracking. I support our environment, making sure that we have clean air, clean water, and that we protect our lands.
All right. Mr. Dale, 30 seconds.
Well, right now with all these lagoons that are being built with these industrial dairies, people are starting to refer to Wisconsin as the land of 10,000 lagoons, as opposed to Minnesota with their 10,000 lakes. This is totally undermining the beauty of our state, its healthfulness. Locating 16 of these industrial dairies right on the shores of Lake Michigan, all that manure, which is equivalent, 6,000 cows is equivalent to like 240,000 people.
All right, Robin, to you in Superior.
Okay. Access, this one will begin with you, Mr. Dale. Access to mental health care is limited in much of the 7th District. Many counties don't have a single psychiatrist. What, if anything, should Congress do to address the mental health crisis?
That goes right back to the Medicare for All. And that Medicare for All will cover the mental health issues and other psychological issues that people have, and get the kind of treatment and get the kind of funding to get the proper staffing of these mental health facilities so that people can be treated in a scientific manner that and see the results. I had a question come up from a constituent who was complaining about that her treatment was being set aside. They simply didn't have the professional staff there to cope with her plan of recovery. And that's wrong, and that's just another aspect why we can't keep kicking the can down the road, trying to patch up this dysfunctional healthcare system that we have today.
Ms. Zunker, what is your answer to that question?
Well, we need to treat mental health just like we treat physical health. You know, mental health has the stigma, and we need to work to reduce that. And I think that we are moving in that direction, but that definitely means we have to have funding. Every county needs to have funding. People need to have access to the mental health care that they need. This is not something limited to one population. This is, you know, we have our farm crisis. We have veterans with mental health needs. We have children, students with mental health needs. So we need to make sure that we prioritize the necessary funding for mental health care.
Anything else to add, Mr. Dale?
Well, we can't prioritize what we don't have. I mean, we don't have the money to put into it. The healthcare system that we have now, they're you know, making billions of dollars, selling us insurance, but they are only they're only providing limited coverage when it comes to mental health care, and it's also, well, it runs out after a certain time, and your treatment may not be over. That's why we need a national healthcare system, a single payer.
All right, Ms. Zunker, any final thoughts on that question?
Well, we absolutely can prioritize and will have to prioritize. You know, we've got funding going into this nonsense border wall. What a waste of money. We have never-ending wars where our servicemen and women have been gone for years. We can stop these things, prioritize that funding, invest it in mental health care, invest it in our children, invest it in our future.
All right, let's go to the phones. We have Eugene from Mercer with a question on Iron County's high unemployment. Welcome, Eugene.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. Coming from a small town in an area that has one of the highest unemployment rates within the state, I just want to know what you guys are going to do, if anything, to be able to bring viable jobs to the area.
All right, we'll start with you, Ms. Zunker.
Good morning, Eugene. Thank you for your question. Yeah, we need to make sure that we have good union jobs And throughout this district, I think that investing in regional transportation is certainly one way so that we can open access and opportunity for people for those jobs. And we need to get creative in thinking about what possibilities there are. And one thing I'm doing is getting out throughout the district and listening to people and hearing their concerns, because my ideas might not be the ideas that people have in their communities. But we absolutely need to make sure that we reduce the unemployment rate. We need to make sure we have a livable wage. People shouldn't have to work two or three jobs just to make ends meet. And we need to provide opportunity.
Mr. Dale, your answer for Eugene.
Yeah, well, if you go to my website, dale2020.com, my second plank there is it concerns the Green New Deal that I have envisioned for our district. And that would call for the creation of small slaughter, meat processing, and direct marketing cooperatives. And the vision is to have several of these throughout the district that would be serving serving the community, but attracting new farmers and new farm businesses into the district. And the other one I was thinking about, especially up in your area in Iron County, is that Marinesco place, which is in Michigan. It's right across the border. But it just closed down a year ago. It's a 1,250-bed facility. And, you know, that should be set up as a facility that would accept first-time offenders, nonviolent offenders, young people who got in trouble with the law, but we don't want to see them placed with hardened criminals, which is currently going on.
Any additional comments?
Well, I want to share my website, www.trishaforwisconsin.com. My name is spelled T-R-I-C-I-A. As I've been going throughout the district, I have been inquiring about opportunities and learning from individuals. And one opportunity that we have, too, is hemp farms. There's a lot of opportunity for revenue and growth. So we need to make those options available.
All right. Any final thoughts on that question?
Yeah, hemp is very important. I agree. And, you know, it's only been legalized now for a short time, but there's so much potential with hemp. It can be anything. We could become really a textile center up here. We need to have more cash opportunities for our farmers, and we need to be able to put our pulp and paper workers back to work. We have big mills around here that are closed down. 300 just closed down in Park Falls, and, of course, the Brokaw plant is down. Rylander's plant is operating at a very low capacity.
All right. We have time for one final question before we get to our final comments. And I'd like to ask this question. Our national debt hit $22 trillion this year. How do you plan to reduce that debt? And does your plan include raising taxes? Dale, this is for you first.
Well, having good paying jobs, I think we need to look to the, you know, combine a few things together here. We are still way too dependent upon oil, and we're subsidizing these giant oil companies to drill for more. I mean, fossil fuels should be something that we're setting aside. This would save billions of dollars that we're subsidizing the big oil companies with. We're also, like we're seeing here in Wisconsin, we're seeing taxpayers subsidizing the cleanup of waste that is engendered by these giant industrial dairies. They should use their own money to do that kind of thing. That would save the taxpayers here in Wisconsin a lot of money. We also, I would say, legalize marijuana. And that would create perhaps thousands of new jobs. They would be green jobs. And they would add millions to our state's treasury.
Okay, Ms. Zunker.
Well, to that last point, that certainly is an opportunity for revenue when you consider the taxation and coupled with the jobs, that is opportunity. Speaking of taxation, yes, we need to close the corporate tax loopholes. I mean, to see these companies getting away with not paying anything in taxes, we could tax them drastically, and they're still going to come out ahead with immense profit. And we need to make sure that the millionaires and that the billionaires pay their fair share in taxes.
It is time for closing statements. Mr. Dale won the coin toss, so Ms. Zunker, you go first. You have 60 seconds for your final thoughts.
Well, I appreciate this time today, first of all, so thank you very much, and thank you, Mr. Dale, for your conversation today. I am ready to represent Wisconsin 7 on day one. I am a Ho-Chunk woman. I come from generations of dairy farmers. I grew up in a strong union household. I am a first-generation college graduate. I went on to earn a law degree. I am a hard worker. And when I approach decision-making, it's with three principles in mind. Number one, compassion. Is this the compassionate choice? Number two, equality. It doesn't matter what somebody looks like, who they love, or how they identify their gender. Does this legislation protect them equally? And number three, opportunity. I am where I am today because of opportunities that I seized on. And I believe that we need to make decisions that promote equitable and inclusive opportunity so that people here in Wisconsin have the best chance at success. So please check out my website. I also have a Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram. Thank you so much.
Mr. Dale, your closing comments.
Well, my focus has been for a long time about the question of how do we diversify the 7th District economy. Right now, it's just too one-dimensional. It more or less wakes up in May and goes to sleep in November, and that is not good. So many small merchants suffer from that. I have a detailed plan, and I have a vision, and I also know that the funding can be had to provide more job opportunities, more small business opportunities. And what I want to emphasize, though, is we have to fight this expulsion, if you will, of all these highly efficient, dedicated small family dairy farm operations. It's unfair what the state government is doing to them. I think the Republican leadership has failed, and now we can go to the polls and vote for somebody and use that vote.
This concludes WPR special election coverage featuring Democratic primary candidates for Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, Lawrence Dale and Tricia Zunker. I'm Shereen Seward. I'd like to thank Robin Washington and Superior for co-moderating today's debate, the first of two leading up to February 18th primary. Our executive producer is Rick Ryer. Our on-air producer today is Joy Ratchkramer. Special thanks to Dean Kallenbach in Eau Claire and Paul Damberg in Superior. You can hear the archive of today's debate at WPR.org. Next week, we'll host our second debate in the 7th congressional race, this time between Republican primary candidates Jason Church and Tom Tiffany. Thank you for listening.